shining a positive spotlight on Mid-State High School football. This is Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb. Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, is also brought to you by
Tin Leaper Roofing, Rockwood Sustainable Solutions, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Sam's Sports Plates and Sports Grill, Roy's Meat Service, Amplify Awards and Gifting, and by Valentino's Restaurante.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan
and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, here are the hosts of Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, Greg Pogue, and Coach Bubba Spears.
Good Saturday morning. How you doing? What a beautiful, beautiful weekend. It is in the neighborhood of East Nashville, Roy's Meat Service, to be exact. We do this every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 here on 94.9 The Fan. Coming up next hour, one-on-one with Greg Pogue will be, well, if you walk into this place, you see the hood of his car out front. Jackson Boone, just a rising young racing star, young man, good person. And I've got to meet him through his All-American Trevecca baseball player and dad and Clay Boone, and just really looking forward to talking to Jackson in here. And I've got to know the young man, and he's such a talent on top of being everything else. So week 9 is in the books. Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb coming up at 9:15. 8-0 for the first time since 1963, the bye week with the fall break. Antioch coach Arsente Broom, legend with a question mark of the week, is Big Joe Dubin.
He's a legend.
He is?
It's no question.
Oh, ask him.
I'll tell you this, that's all you have to do, but Big Joe, as no one supports high school football in the city of Nashville like Big Joe does.
Oh, yeah, and that's why he's on, and other reasons. Played for your buddy, our buddy, Wes Elrod at McGavick High School. Craig Ladd at about 9:45 to take a look at Week 10. Already Week 9 is in the books. What a beautiful night. I know Westmoreland Strat for you guys last night. I heard you all got the catfish.
Yeah, we got the cat. Oh, thanks again to Miss Law. Uh-huh. Coach Law's wife sent it up at halftime. She's so
the principal
sweet.
Principal there?
No. She's just like, you know, when you're the okay. head coach, the coach's wife, they do it all, you know. And she worked the concession stand and sent it up to us.
No, the principal was the halftime guest, excuse me.
Oh, yes. He was
you and
there.
Chase last night. Right. So with that, well, let's, you know, what we do, this is the Rockwood Sustainable Solutions, opening quarter. We do it with them. And we don't do a complete scoreboard. There's just too many games, although there were a lot of fall break teams. You can go to TSSAA sports.com, the Tennesseans website, to get the complete scoreboard statewide, mid-state particularly. We sort of pick out a few games to highlight. And I agree with what the Tennessean picked out, their top team wins. Goodpasture last night. Goodpasture, 6-2, 3-2 Division II AA, unbeaten Grace Christian. They won 24-7, and Caden Stroud with a big night again. But if you Goodpasture's relevant again. Does that make sense? Because
yes.
There was a while, you know, we had that great run, long run with David Martin, right back
right.
in the day.
And tell you this, Goodpasture's new coach is Tyler Turner. I shouldn't say new coach because Coach Turner was there before he left, and he's came back. But, you know, just this time last year, Goodpasture was they finished their season 0-10, and they've turned it around, and they're 6-2, as you said, and 3-2 in Division II AA. They got a running back over Caden Stroud, who had 29 carries for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's done this now for 8 weeks. He's had a, you know, outstanding. It's other people over there, but it's good to see Goodpasture back up among the echelons of the AA there.
Well, and Caden Stroud, isn't that son of, I think, Seen Stroud, Stroud's Barbecue?
I think.
We're going to say it is.
Well, it sounds good. If not, we're throwing
Stroud Barbecue out
in there. We'll send them the bill.
Green Hill. these two teams were unbeaten. Green Hill and Lebanon and unbeaten in region play, and a big region 4-6A win for Green Hill last night over Lebanon, and a battle of region unbeatens, and that really keeps Green Hill on pace for the region.
Right, and Lebanon went to Green Hills and started a game. Lebanon was up 7-0. You know, they scored first, and Green Hill battled back, and this was a battle all night long. It just went back and forth with 33 seconds to go is when Green Hill scored the go-ahead touchdown and eventually the winning touchdown there to make the, you know, improve their record to 6-2. First defeat for Lebanon. Lebanon's had an awesome year, and it's not over. It's the first loss. So, you know, Coach Gentry up there, he does an outstanding job. You know, we bragged about him all the time. So that was a big win for Green Hills, we hadn't heard the last of Lebanon and Green Hills, I don't believe.
You got to quit saying Green Hills.
Green Hills, excuse me.
I know
that's
you,
at East Nashville.
I know
baby.
You grew up saying Green Hills your whole life.
Yeah. Green Hill.
Green Hill.
That's right.
Columbia, we don't talk a lot about Columbia, even or you know, more of the southern mid-state teams. Lincoln County seems to be back of where they once were, Columbia. But that right there, 3-0 in the region now, Columbia in the region 4-5A. So in a 28-27 win there, Lincoln County looked to be the favorite, and Columbia with a bit of an upset last night.
Well, I don't want people to think that we're bringing up Lincoln County because they got beat, but, you know, with my history of Lincoln County. But Columbia has stepped back up, Greg, and they're doing an outstanding job there. Like you said, 6-2 in the region, 4-5A, and they started, you know, looks like there might be the region favorite right now going down the stretch with a few games to go.
Lipscomb Academy, you know, we got the slow start. You know, Jay Graham takes over last year, a program that was placed on TSSAA probation. Obviously, he inherited that situation. And I guess you saw where Trent Diffel got fired down at UAB. I don't know how many hearts that broke. Lipscomb Academy 27, Christian Brothers 24, Division II Triple A. Now, think of that, Division II Triple A, where Lipscomb is now having to compete in that level. Good win last night. J.C. White, 13 of 20, 202 yards, couple touchdowns. Also, 10 carries, 47 yards as well. What a night he had. And Jamie Graham, what a job he's doing at Lipscomb. You're seeing it in region play right now.
And he will continue. He's, you know, the quarterback there, J.C. White, he's young. I think, if we're not mistaken, he came in last year as a ninth grader.
Yeah, he's just, I think, a sophomore. Right.
So we're going to be saying that name a little more. And Jamie's going to do a job over there at Lipscomb. And it's good to see and we need, just like we need good pasture back on top, we need Lipscomb back on top. It's good for high school football.
And back on top for all the right reasons.
Right, correct.
We'll leave it at that, right?
Correct.
Ravenwood 45-14 winner over Shelbyville. We keep Femi Babalola, we keep calling out his name, 103 yards, couple touchdowns. And Ricky Rodriguez takes over for Will Hester. And is this the quietest 8-0 team? I mean, Ravenwood can't do anything quietly except just blow through people. But yeah, a lot of attention goes to Oakland, obviously. But Ravenwood sitting there on that other side of the bracket at 8-0.
Well, at the beginning of the year, we talked about Oakland and Ravenwood again. We did not know. It still was a question mark about Ravenwood with Coach Hester going into administration and Coach Rodriguez picking up. But Coach Rodriguez has picked up, and they haven't missed a beat. And it's going to come down. You know, we're going to probably see Ravenwood and Oakland playing. And let me say this. It hasn't been all smooth for Ravenwood. They had a few games where they really battled back, and they was tested, battle-tested, because they come from behind and won a couple of games. So still 8-0, 4-0, and 6-6A. So congratulations to Coach Rodriguez and Ravenwood.
Hendersonville, this is a big win here. I know they got a non-region one coming up. Coach James Beasley and the Commandos last night coming back. Got down, 17-0, kicked the field goal right before halftime. And then it just, we'll talk about this, you from a coaching perspective, but Hendersonville with a good win last night over Station Camp.
Well, you know, it was a shock being down, you know, 17-0. They battled and got the field goal right there for halftime. What really turned the game around, and you hear coaches talking about the last four of the first half and the first four of the second half, then they stopped, got a turnover.
You answered my question.
Yeah, they scored.
Right, hold on, Coach.
Yeah.
Let me ask the question.
All right.
Because you just answered it. Because you knew where I was going.
I've been with you too long.
It was 17-0. You kicked that field goal. You defer to get the ball in the second half to start the second half. So you've got two possessions consecutively. I don't know if they just kicked it off after that field goal, or maybe it was the last play of the half, whatever it was, but it made it 17-3, so you got something on the board. You come back out, you drive the length of the field, you make it a one-score game, then you get a takeaway, right, and tie it up, and then game on. And so that last four of the first four of the second.
Right, and then it was a heck of a spectator's game because they just kept swapping back. And then
TV game last night.
Right,
yep.
And it went into overtime. Hendersonville scores and kicks the extra point. They're up 7. Well, the other team scores,
mm-hmm,
and they decide, hey, we're at home. We're going for 2.
Yeah.
And then he gets stopped at about the 3-yard line.
Yeah, so that's coaching right there. That you wake up, you know, if it works, you win. If it doesn't, but you got to, you know, you got to. It's isn't that more feel than anything else?
Well, that's, you know, Greg, me and you've talked about this. You've asked me about this before. Analytics is everything people talk about now at every level. Forget analytics. Analytics is not their feeling of the game and seeing how it goes. I'm old school. I think just what you just said. That's how you call a game. That's how you call offense and defense. You get a feel what they might do because of what you've seen on film. And the feel was, hey, maybe they thought they had something there and they've been moving the ball well.
Yep.
And let's go with it and win it here.
We always do a Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week. It's plural this time. Earlier this year, we went out to Antioch, and the numbers that Andre Adams, quarterback, putting up out there, and Brandon Galladay, his receiver, we had codes. Well, a week ago Thursday night, 64-62 over previously unbeaten FRA, and the Nimitz kid was our Player of the Week before that.
The quarterback,
Jack Nimitz. And so what we did for the first time, and I guess it's nice because we had some extra plaques.
Right. Thanks to our sponsor.
Andre Adams, Brandon Galladay, and then his younger brother, freshman Aiden Adams, had the, you know, catches for over 100 yards.
Eight catches for 94 yards, a touchdown, and he had the big interception.
The interception on the two-point play to preserve the win.
Right.
So we did that. Arsente Broom will join us coming up after this first break in the Rockwood Sustainable Solutions opening quarter. All right, time now for our player of the game.
Okay.
Player of the game. Mid-State player of the week. We got some nominees. One of them's got to be D.K. Williams at Beach. The game he had last night, 181 yards, 5 touchdowns, as Beach just blew out Gallatin 62-29.
Yes, and then we're going to go with Cam Blevins, one of the at Lipscomb Academy. He had a punt return, 44 yards for a touchdown, 4 catches for 87 yards and a score, and a crucial 27-24 win over Christian Brothers last night.
Jonathan Hamby out at Rockvale, big win there. 18 of 26, 317 yards, 5 touchdowns. Rockwood in a wild one over Tullahoma, 39-38. But we were talking about J.C. White.
I was going to say, I thought we had
at Lipscomb. We were just talking about him. 13 of 20, 202 yards, touchdown, 2 touchdowns, 10 carries, 47 yards. So 249 yards total offense. Lipscomb, 3-0 in the region. So we're heading to Lipscomb. I agree. You cool with that?
I'm cool with that. Congratulations.
Well, I'll call Jamie Graham and Devin Arnold.
Hadn't seen Devin in a while. Yeah.
And the cool thing about that, and this doesn't have anything to do with that, you know, that's where the Nashville Cats, we train there. We practice there. and that's sort of our home. And so it'll be good to go over and see the boys,
well,
see how they're doing.
It's a good time to meet this young sophomore quarterback that we're hearing so much about.
All right. That gets us going here. The Rockwood Sustainable Solutions opening quarter coming up at 9:45. We'll have a look at week 10 already, right? Craig Ladd will do that. Bottom of the hour legend Joe Dubin. Just talk about his passion for high school football and everything that goes into that with him and, of course, a product of it. And next, another local product, another Metro product, played for you at Stratford, doing a wonderful job at Antioch, Coach Arsente Broom. Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb. Roy's Meat Service, right here on 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to Prep Football Talk,
presented by Freeman Webb,
with Greg Pogue and Coach Bubba Spears.
Your sports live here
on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. Antioch is 8-0 for the first time since 1963. You played against that team, correct, when you were in high school, Coach Bubba?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. But for Stratford, I mean, you can tell some stories about that. Bears Coach Arsente Broom with us. Coach, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, I'm good, Greg. How you doing, Coach?
Good,
man.
Sensei, don't let him talk to me like that.
8-0 has got a nice ring to it. What's working? I know you got some players, Andre Adams, Brandon Galladay, on and on and on, even the younger Adams, Aiden Adams. But what's worked for this team so far? And you went into the fall break bye week 8-0.
Oh, man, I just – nothing out of the ordinary, just – and the simple stuff, blocking, tackling, man, trying to play faster. Man, just holding, you know, like every coach, man, holding your players accountable for being in practice. And, you know, watching film, being better. Being better in the film room, I think, has been a big plus for us. And, man, just going hard, playing for each other. You know, you always tell players I want 110%, but I've been telling kids here lately, man, it's not about – don't give me 110% because that's being unrealistic. You got 82, give me the whole 82. I don't need more than that. I don't want you to fake it and give me something else. Give me exactly what you have. And if it's 75, 92, if you only got 52 that day, give me just that. That should be enough.
Coach, I'll tell you what, I'm proud of you, but I get asked this question all the time now because Antioch is 80-0 and you are the coach. They say, what kind of player was he? What kind of person is he? I said, let me tell you something. There ain't no – he's an outstanding coach. He was a great player. But out of all that, you're just a better person because I know how you was raised by your mom and dad. And Antioch and the schools you've been to, and you've heard me say this in front of a crowd, they're fortunate to have Arsente Broom coaching them because you're teaching them more than just football. And and that's what these young men need. And one thing I know you're doing, is you're loving them. And
that's
all you can do. When we had you on our prep football game of the week, I go in the locker room after the big win against Cane Ridge. Coach Greg, he's feeding them. They're in there, and he's got every. These are things that the big schools do that Metro schools hadn't been able to do, and to get your group, when we came out and took the picture Tuesday, to get your group practicing, other people don't understand how hard it is to get kids to practice in the Metro school system when the yellow bus ain't running.
Oh, yeah, man. It's everything, man. I've tried to all the stops, man. I've tried to make sure that, you know, I have my own kids, but I also tell these kids that play for me, like, y'all don't understand, when you're not around me, you still represent me, you still represent the staff, and you represent the school, and I have to worry about not just my own kids, but 70, 80 other kids, you know, at a certain time, sometimes 100 and some kids, you know, at certain times, just worrying about, you know, making sure everybody's at practice, make sure everybody gets home, make sure everybody eats, make sure everybody's okay. And that's mentally and physically. So, our biggest thing, man, is loving on kids, but also, too, man, making them try to make them be responsible, make me and out of them one day.
Well, that's a big plus for you. You got a great coaching staff that works with you on that. But speaking of loving on your kids, how's Junior? I know you had a ball game. How's Junior doing this morning? Now, aren't you at a ball game this morning?
Man, I had to step away from the fence because, you know, you got mamas out here hollering loud. We're playing down here, Goodlettsville Trojans. We're playing Mount Juliet. It's homecoming. We're up 8-7 this second quarter. So the Mount Juliet's driving, though, man. They got a little kid out here bobbing and weaving, man. So you got to get him.
Antioch coach Arsente Broom with us. Andre Adams has just exploded onto the scene. I know he's taken a trip to Auburn this weekend, been to Mississippi State. I know Vanderbilt's knocking on that door mighty hard. And just a junior, but still has that look. Long, 6'2.5", 6'3", 180, can always put that weight on, but he seems to be a gamer above anything else beyond just the talent. Seems like he's a gamer.
Look, man, the kid is it's crazy. He's so unassuming because, you know, he doesn't say much. He blends in. It's not like when he's walking, he stands out. I mean, height-wise, if he's in the crowd, yeah, you'll see him. But, I mean, it's just nothing that he does that's going to make him jump off the page to you. Unless you know who he is, and then all of a sudden, like, you see all of this exploding on the field, man, and he does everything right. That's the biggest part. He does everything he's supposed to do, and it just, man, it's easy to coach a kid like that, man. It's real easy. You know, you just don't have any problems, man, and I'm fortunate to be in this situation. I think, you know, the staff we put together it's fortunate, man. You know, I told somebody, man, y'all got that quarterback. And I tell everybody, man, I'm never going to be apologetic for having a kid like that because a lot of coaches never see that type of talent. You know, a lot of coaches aren't able to have that type of kid in their program. And I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off.
Arsente, you know, I want you to – about the story with Andre – we remember when he was a ninth grader, we saw him for the first time, and I said, you know, he won't stay at Antioch because, you know, somebody will get him.
Somebody will get him, yeah.
And remember what you told – I remember what you told me. You said, Coach, he's at Antioch because that's where he wants to be, that he wants to make Antioch. People want to come to Antioch and let people know you can make it being at Antioch.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, man, the biggest thing he did, man, was he had the opportunity to go anywhere. Even once I got the job, I wasn't his original coach. You know, Devin Arnold was, and even once Devin left and I came in, it would have been really easy for him to go anywhere else, not just the city, but the state. And, you know, he chose to because he had friends. That's a big thing that I think people don't understand is, man, you got kids right now that are going to school just to team up with somebody else at another school, the LeBron James effect. But he stayed at Antioch to be like a Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan. He wanted to do it with his guys that he's been with, he's been knowing, and change the game, you know, change the narrative and be that, you know, that step out effect. Back in the day, you know, if I was at Stratford, I wasn't trying to go to Maplewood or White Creek. No, I wanted to whoop them. I wanted to be able to talk mess later on in the week to all the people on that side of town. So that's what he's doing.
And you was able to do that too, let me say that. Well, you know what? I done told you, I've done made him a five-star. I'm tired of this four-star stuff. He's a five-star. I don't care who says it. And also, Golladay. Brandon Golladay.
A no star, but he needs to be a 3-4-star.
Yeah, he's a three-star in the making, let me right? At least.
No,
okay.
I tell people I would sign him if I was at a D1 school right now today. I would sign that young man. I don't know what you call got it, but whatever the got it is, he's got. Because once he catches that ball, Sente, he reminds me of you turning that sweep and boom, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Man, it's crazy because and literally, you know, I saw him play as a sophomore, and last year, he had a pretty good year. But, man, he ran track. And I say this again, he ran track. Both of them, him and Andre both ran track. And it's like his speed has gotten so much better. But he's got – you know how sometimes you just got a kid has a nose for the end zone? He's not trying to just get it and get out. He's not trying to get it and just make a play. He's trying to get it and change the narrative of the game. And, you know, man, I still say, you know, I got a lot of coaches that call me and say, you know, they ask questions like, what's he like? What's I like? Go away. What do you want me? He's one of the better kids on the team. You see him play. He does all this other stuff, man. Like, find him on what you see. People don't believe their eyes anymore. And, yeah. You know, I'm going to believe mine.
Yeah. I believe him.
Hey, Cente, one more, let you go. 8-0 sounds great. The most important one, 4-0 in the region. But your next two games, Clarksville in the region, 4-0. Rossview, 4-1 in the region. So all three of you going to get together in these next 2 weeks with you.
Yeah, it's about to be a party in Clarksville. 3 weeks, man, and I'm going to tell you something, man. I played in that offense, type of offense, wing teeter. They got a little bit of different variations to it, man. But they like to run the football, man, and they shoot the shoe. And our biggest thing is trying to stop the run. And, you know, we've had our challenges at times, but there's nothing different. There's no formula that I can put in to make us play any different. We just gotta come from down deep, man, be very gritty, be tough. And, you know, I tell the guys all the time, man, if we can cause a turnover, if we can get them in fourth down situations where they have to punt, hopefully on offense, man, we can click like we've been doing and just score points. I think they got us on my TV 30 this week, too. So.
Yeah. Everybody can see Andre Adams and the crew, Brandon Galladay. Cente, thanks. Hey, put your take your coach's cap off and put your daddy cap back on. Go watch some football.
All right, bro.
That's it, man.
You guys, man. Hey, thank y'all for doing everything for high school sports, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, all right. Coach.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, what
bye-bye.
A job he's doing. I know
he's done a good
job.
Like
a son to you, I know that.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. Joe Dubin, legend.
The Big Joe.
Coming up next.
You're listening to Prep Football Talk,
presented by Freeman Webb,
with Greg Pogue and Coach Bubba Spears.
Your sports live here
on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Services, Nashville, top of the hour. 1-on-1 with Greg Pogue, right here. Jackson Boone, young rising racing star, fine young man. I know another fine young man. That's Big Joe Dubin. Joe's tailgating over at LSU. He's our legend of the week, and I'm having some fun. Put the question mark with that, but I mean it when I say it. What his impact is on high school football every day is worth noting. Joe, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. What's happening, Greg? Long time no talk.
Hey, Joe. What's up?
Coach, I butt-dialed you last night at the Green Hill game. I apologize.
I thought you had me some scoops.
No.
Joe, why isn't high school – I know what you do. You're out with Fox every Thursday or Friday night and everything you've done over the years. And we'll talk about your playing days at McGavick with Wes Elrod in just a few moments. But why is it important to you?
Well, it was. It started with my brother. He's a McGavick graduate back in the 70s and going to those games and falling in love with the atmosphere. And I just saw how happy my mom got watching him play. And then when I had the opportunity years later, you know, playing, to see how happy and how much pride she had in me playing. And I was like, you know what, this is great. This is, it gave me, you know, leadership. It gave me accountability, you know, and I look back, I played with some amazing people. I mean, you throw Prep Legend out there, please put a question mark and laugh about that because I am so far not. I got lucky. I worked hard, and that's what happened. But I was surrounded by some great players. But anyway, it's just the excitement, the camaraderie, everything you hear about high school football came true with me, and I got lucky. So I want kids to experience that today and know that, you know, by the time you're 18 years old, you've gone through every emotion that people who don't play football don't get till they're about 60. I mean, you get beat, you laugh, you cry, you lose friends. I mean, you learn how to grow up, you learn how to handle things. And so if these kids can understand that it's more than just the X's and O's and how beautiful it is and the pride you get from doing that, I want them to get that. And, you know, we see that every Friday night when we go out and do all the high school football stuff and talking to coaches. It's just on another level. And Mike Keith and I one time had like a three-hour talk about high school football, and it came down to this. You know, if you're in broadcasting or any type of this, you guys know this, be grounded to something. And for me, it's being grounded to high school football because it's pure, it's fun. I remember the days. I remember walking out in McGavick and the stands were packed. I mean, I remember those days, and that's a lot of pride with me. You know, and I went on to play football in college, and I talked to maybe 8 or 9 of my guys I play with college football, but I talk still to this day to about 40 to 50 guys from high school football, and you don't get that anywhere else. So you put all that together, and that's why I love it.
Joe, I tell people, and I told Greg this when he told me you was going to be on, I said, it's nobody. And this is my opinion, and you know that $1.50 now get you coffee. It's nobody does for high school football in the metro area like Joe Dubin does. And you know, these kids don't understand everything that you do for high school football. And former coaches like myself, we appreciate it, especially, you know, the coaches that you have, because you had an outstanding career at McGavick, went on and played college football, and you played for a pretty good guy in college football also. So, you know, you got to bring that up a little bit.
Well, Wes Elwright at McGavick was great. You know, and the coaches there is Scott Burnett, Jim Norris, Mike Tribue, Wayne Parker. I'm sure I'm leaving off. I mean, they were just great. I mean, we had great football teams at McGavick. Then I'm going to junior college, went to Stanford, played for Terry Bowden down there. And it was fun, but it wasn't the same, if that makes sense. I mean, it was – I understood that, all right, this is kind of a little – this is back in the late 80s, like kind of a little business there. And I didn't have – I didn't appreciate it the way I should have looking back now. So I just – I enjoyed it. I got lucky again. I played with some great people. You know, Jimbo Fisher was our quarterback at Stanford. And, you know, we had a really good team, and it was fun and all the other good stuff. But – and then it – but it goes back to high school football because I had some really good coaches that I played with and a lot of good times back then. So it really worked out fine.
Big Joe Dubin, of course, Chase and Big Joe, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 102.5. And that's we're Vanderbilt. If you want to pop on over there, you know, catch that game kicking off at 11 o'clock. I know you're over there. Joe, we'll let you go in a second. It is amazing, though, the evolution of high school football around here. Certainly it reflects the growth of the market in a lot of ways. But the quality now of the coaching, the commitment by the programs, and you're seeing it now. Metro, I think, has come back to where they are showing that support. It wasn't always there. I think under Mark North, Dr. Battle, I think they understand the importance of it. That's my editorial comment. But back to the original point is that the explosion of talent around here. We were just talking about this Andre Adams kid out at Antioch.
Yeah.
He's headed to Auburn today. He's got offers everywhere. It's amazing the explosion of talent in the Mid-State.
Well, the constant has been, and I'm going back to the 70s and 80s, 90s, is coaches like, you know, Coach Spears, you know, and Jerry Pigg. I mean, these guys were, I mean, I'm telling you, second fathers to a lot of these. I'm not kidding you. Second fathers that would go pay the electric bill for these kids and run them home after. I mean, you gave me a 4-hour show. I couldn't name all the high school coaches who do that. And it's still to this day, there's a lot of good men coaching high school football, despite what happened this weekend to an absolute jackass who should never be allowed around football or kids again. 99.999% of these coaches are godly men who step up and are second dads to so many kids. I saw it myself. I still see it today. I see it with these coaches who go out and do the football games on Friday night, who care about these kids, who after the game is done and their career is over with, I talk to all of them, and they're still concerned about these kids. Even if they don't go D1, they're still concerned about these kids. How you doing? You working? You in school? How are you? Great. I mean, they care about them. And, yeah, the talent level has risen, and that's great. But still, at the end of the day, you got to coach football. You got to coach young men. And I'm telling you, I don't know any place in the country, but it would be hard to top the coaches we have in Middle Tennessee who absolutely care about these kids. And that's another factor of watching and caring about high school football, because they do. I mean, I see it, man. I don't keep hitting the same point, but I talk to them and I all the time about, you know, getting these kids and making them, when they leave the program, making them men, make sure they graduate, make sure they honor God, make sure they honor their mom and dads. And it's a beautiful thing. And, yeah, the talent has – there's amazing talent. Jalen Hurd, unbelievable at Beach High School, what he did coming up. I mean, Golden Tate at Pope John Paul. I mean, we can go on and on about some. Graham Barton down at Ravenwood now, he's the starting center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, on and on and on with these guys. So it's never been – right now is the best time for high school football because more eyeballs are on them and these kids are getting more chances. I don't care if you play on Sunday. I really don't care if you make the NFL. I do care if you go to college and get it paid for, because that is a beautiful thing when you get paid to go to college. I know NIL, but your scholarship is paid for to go play football. And it all starts with these coaches, man. And I was lucky to have some good ones, and these kids are as well.
Well, Joe, you said it when you said what they get to do when coaches care. They care more about them as a person than they do a player. Yeah, some of them are good players, but it's a great thing for me to see people like Arsente Broom, Romy Reed, the ones that are in the coaching field now that I happen to be fortunate enough to coach. But I'm the same way with you. These kids, I told these kids when they play for me, some of you are gonna go to college and you're gonna sit around, but when you sit around at them reunions and when you get together, you're gonna talk about your high school days more than you talk about anything else.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. We do the same thing. I mean, look, I tell people all the time, the anniversary's coming up, it'll be 41 years. We were ranked third in the state. We went to Dickinson County. They're ranked sixth in the state. And we all had college prospects. And I'm telling you guys, there was 15,000 people at this game. They beat us in the last minute. They came down the field and scored. And it was, I'll never forget after the game, all the Dickinson County people yelling at us, and we're yelling at them. And we're getting on the bus, and they won the game. They're throwing stuff at us. We had a couple players chase some of the kids, some of their students down the way. I mean, it was absolute chaos. But we look back now, and I love that moment. I mean, that moment is embedded in me forever. Just the crowd, the excitement, and everything that went on. I'll never forget, you know, Dixon County was going late in the fourth to win. I got lucky in the backfield. I hit the quarterback. He fumbles. Our guy picks it up, runs 80 yards for a touchdown. We're like, oh, we're going to win this. And they come back down and beat. Emotional swings, man. You don't get that working at a corporate job. You don't get that 8-5. I mean, you get that playing sports. And so I'll never forget that. I also never forget, you know, Keith Davis, who I think is the greatest running back I've ever seen in my life, went to Overton, played at Tennessee. You know, we played over McGavick my sophomore year. In first play of the game, Keith Davis gets knocked out. I mean, he gets laid out. And we're like, oh, we're going to win this game. He's the number one recruit in the country. He goes out two plays, comes back in. We don't see him come back in. He runs a sweep, goes 80 yards for a touchdown. We lose the game 10-8. And there was probably 10,000 people in McGavick that night. That's what I remember, and that's what I hope these kids can get back to. These kids deserve big crowds. They deserve community support, and it drives me crazy when I see half-empty stadiums around Middle Tennessee. It drives me crazy that people aren't there. Last night I got lucky. Green Hill and Lebanon. Packed house. Yep. Absolute packed house. I went down a few weeks ago and covered Coffee County, Tullahoma, the Coffee Cup Bowl. Packed house. I had no dog in that fight. I was so excited to see the stands full, everybody there. That's what it's about. You remember that on Friday night for the rest of your life.
Thanks for sharing, Joe. I know you're the life of the tailgate. Go to it.
All right, boys. Appreciate
you.
Love you, man.
All right. See you. He wears it on his sleeve, that big heart of his.
Everywhere he goes.
Yep. Hey, we'll take a break. Craig Ladd to preview Week 10 coming up on 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to Prep Football Talk.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
With Greg Pogue and Coach Bubba Spears.
Your sports live here.
On 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb. Top of the hour, next hour, 101 with Greg Pogue will be rising racing star. Good dude. Got a nice full beard going too, Jackson Boone. Somebody who's not capable of growing a beard is Craig Ladd.
Hey, Greg, that's because I have such a baby face.
Yeah, right. Man. Week 10, and let's jump. I mean, we've got games now. Region championship games and region playoff implications all the way through here. Let's start with Baylor-Ensworth. Both teams 3-0 in Division II, Class AAA, that East region.
That's right, Greg. And the winner will have sole possession of that Division II AAA East region and a clear path to that region title. Ensworth 6-2 has enjoyed a banner season. E.J. Gibson is one of the top junior running backs in the mid-state. He's rushed for 1,075 yards, 17 touchdowns this season. Had a big game against CPA in the 28-21 win in Week 8, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. Baylor, 7-0, also features a talented rusher in David Gabriel Georges, who's ranked – he's the number one player in the state and number two running back in the nation for the class of 2027, according to 24/7 Sports. This will be the 17th meeting all time, with Ensworth winning 9 of the previous matchups, but Baylor has won the last 4 battles.
Well, you made a face over there when you brought up the running back. What, Bubba? Did he steal some of your thunder?
No. I mean, you know, we need running backs. But as I've said many times last few years, it's a quarterback-driven game right now. And if you got that – well, if you got a running back now, you got somebody you can hand it off to. And I like handing it off to a running back.
I didn't know that. Division I, Class 5A, Region 6, Beach and Portland, both undefeated in region play.
You're exactly right, Greg. Once again, the winner of this ball game is going to have the top spot in the region. After opening the season 2-0, Portland – dropped back-to-back games to Springfield and East Robertson, respectively. But since the Panthers have won 3 out of the last 4, despite losing last night to Davidson Academy 21-6, beat 6-1, knocked off Gallatin 62-29, running back D.K. Williams, 5 touchdowns last night, quarterback Caden Powell rushed for 200 yards and 3 scores. It was the 6th straight win for the Bucks since opening the season with a loss to Green Hill. Beach has owned the series, guys. They've won 12 in a row and 15 of the previous 17 meetings.
Wow. We had Arsente Broom, Antioch coach, on. Of course, Antioch 8-0, first time since 1963 at Clarksville. Region Division I, Class 6A, Region 5, both of them 4-0 in the region.
Absolutely. A huge, huge matchup between these two schools. Antioch 8-0, as you mentioned, Greg. They feature the most dynamic pass-catch duo in the state in quarterback Andre Adams and wideout Brandon Galladay. Adams has passed for 2,421 yards, 29 touchdowns, 1 interception. I said that right, 1 interception. Galladay has been the recipient of 52 of Adams' completions for 1,193 yards, 15 scores. Clarksville has had a really good season. They're 6-2. They've won 6 straight by an average margin of 27 points. They rely on the run game. They average 233 yards per game, led by Avaria Galbraith, Jamarcus Watkins, and Bryson Ellington. They've combined for 1,417 yards.
Yeah, Craig, also Clarksville, you know, they run that wing T, and you just got to stay at home and have assignments on defense, and I'm sure Coach Broom will get that down. But you did say 5-star quarterback Andre Adams, and I'm making a Brandon Galladay here on air. He's a 4-star receiver. Like I said, I'd sign him.
Bubba handed out stars this morning.
Yeah. They're good.
Bubba, I think Bubba is he's bucking for a job at 24/7 Sports.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, him and that wing T of his.
Yeah.
He can be their wing T correspondent, right? Was he got to cover about 2 teams in the state?
No.
How many wing T's are there running in the state, you think?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, probably would
you
be.
Would. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't
hey,
go
Hey, guys, good. I'm going to mention this, too. I think it's advantageous for Antioch because you just don't, you know – that wing T, Bubba knows it's hard to prepare for. And the fact that Antioch's got 2 weeks to prepare for it, I think, is an advantage for them.
Yeah, and Arcente used to play in it.
He played in it, yeah.
Division two, Class AA, the Middle Region, FRA, Franklin Grace. And FRA's only loss was that wild one to Antioch.
That's right, Greg. Currently, you know, Franklin Grace, with last night's loss to Good Pasture, they're tied for second. They're looking to hand FRA their first loss in the region. FRA 6-1, you mentioned, Greg, their only loss was to Antioch. They're led by a high-powered offense, quarterback Jack Nimitz, running back Mike Hassel. In that Antioch game, Nimitz passed for 391 yards, 3 touchdowns. Hassel combined for 329 yards rushing and receiving and 5 scores. Franklin Grace, 7-1, had their first loss of the season last night to Good Pasture, 24-7. They still have won more games in the school's history, never have won 7 games in that school's history. Knox Lambert, going into the game last night, 1,538 yards passing, 16 touchdowns. Guys, Franklin Grace has a great, great secondary. They have had 10 interceptions so far going into last night's game. Junior Grayson McCown, Zachariah Rankhorn, 3 picks each.
Wow. Right over in East Nashville, Houston County at East Nashville.
Yeah, Houston County 4-4 on the season. The Fighting Irish rely on a run game that averages 251 yards per game, led by senior running back Preston Mitchell, who's totaled 1,293 yards and 12 touchdowns on the season. You know, East Nashville, guys, we talked about this. They started the season 0-4. Since then, they've won 3 straight after last night's 41-3 region win in Hickman County. During that win streak, East has outscored its opponents 117-19. They are led by quarterback Dallas Covington. Through week 8, he passed for 951 yards, 9 touchdowns, while completing 79% of his passes.
One more to hit. Lebanon at Gallatin.
Lebanon 7-1. What an outstanding season. They had their undefeated season ended last night with a tough loss to Green Hill, 22-15. Senior quarterback Austin Harrison leads an offense that averages 26 points per game. And, guys, after missing 2 games due to injury, the Blue Devils' ground attack received a shot in the arm with the return of running back Guyan Azeta. He rushed for 219 yards and 3 touchdowns last night. Gallatin, 5-2, saw its 2-game winning streak snapped by Beach last night, 62-19. Winner of this game will take over sole possession of second place in Class 6A Region 4. Guys, this series began in 1930. Friday night will be the 77th meeting between these two schools. Gallatin leads the series with 53 wins, but Lebanon has won the last three of the four matchups.
Craig, thank you as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.
Sounds good, guys.
See you, Craig.
All right, that's going to wrap up Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb. Roy's Meat Service coming up one-on-one with Jackson Boone.